Nobody does.
All right.
We open the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. Today is May 16th. We've got one public hearing and then an informational hearing. So let's get started on our public hearing.
What you doing,
and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 1036A. I'm going to ask Willie Tiffany to come on up and tell us about this bill. Committee bill from the Senate, it looks like.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Glad to be in front of you today. What this bill, Senate Bill 1036, was...
Need your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Willie Tiffany with the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association. You would think I would know that by now, but thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill would exempt certain landfill activities from the definition of surface mining. We consider it kind of a technical issue. However, there were some issues that were raised in the Senate that we needed to fix, so I'll describe those as well. I would start out by explaining that when the definition of surface mining was drafted in statute 1971 in the state, it was a very, very broad definition. It is and currently still is a very broad definition. It's moving 5,000 cubic yards in an acre in a year, period. That's a pretty low threshold for certain construction activities or landfill activities, that's why we're here, or say road building activities. And then over the years, the way the statute has been constructed is different interest groups have come in to the legislature and got exempted from that definition because the agency that runs surface mining activities and permits surface mining activities, DOGAMI, the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, is really focused on aggregate extraction, mineral extraction, and commercial mining activities. And a lot of activities that fall in that definition don't meet those requirements. Specifically, for Oregon landfills, we engage in activities like daily cover, where we're moving inert materials such as dirt on and off an active face of a landfill on a daily basis. We're engaged in road building activities that moves more than 5 cubic yards of material. We maintain cells, and that moves more than 5,000 cubic yards of material. Well, in 2016, there's a landfill in Yamhill County that was proposing an expansion. They've been in and out of the land use process for several years, well over a decade. And in 2014, it was brought to light that some of their activities may require a DOGAMI permit. They went ahead and went through with that process and obtained that permit. Today, they are the only landfill in the state of Oregon that actually has an operating DOGAMI permit for surface mining for those activities that really aren't surface mining. They're cover material, cover activities, road building, and cell maintenance. Since that time, in 2015, a number of our other landfills and county landfills, there's about 20 county-owned landfills, we represent the privately owned landfills, and there's dozens of them across the state. You may be familiar with some of the big ones. The big six, I would say, are our members. There are also some pretty large county landfills in Deschutes County and Lane County as well. So all of those landfills, given that 2014 decision, now are subject to the DOGAMI permit. I think if you ask the department, that was not a positive decision for them. It's a burdensome process for them and outside their area of expertise. I will let you know that landfills are some of the most heavily permitted facilities in the state of Oregon. They're permitted through ORS 459 and subject to DEQ requirements, DSL requirements, federal requirements, EPA requirements, and all sorts of other permitting requirements. So those activities, by exempting them from DOGAMI, you're merely exempting the surface mining requirement. You're not exempting them from their regular permitted requirements to protect the environment and public health. So we entered in 2015 in discussions with DOGAMI and OCAPA. OCAPA is the industry, the concrete and aggregate extraction industry, that is most closely associated with the activities and permitting activities at DOGAMI. And through that process, we were able to come up with Senate Bill 1036. We were all in agreement and were able to get it introduced as a priority bill in the Senate, as a committee bill, and had a hearing over there. During the hearing process, a number of folks who were opposed to that landfill expansion project in Yamhill County specifically came and talked about their opposition to that specific process. Also, 1,000 Friends of Oregon raised some concerns about some of the land use issues associated with landfills and questions about the Dogami permitting process. So we entered into a work group on the Senate side at the behest and direction of the chairman. That work group included our association, DSL, Dogami, DEQ, OCAPA, and 1,000 Friends of Oregon. And I must say, Mr. Chairman and committee members, I very much want to give credit to 1,000 Friends. They brought to light an issue that we had never anticipated. We're not sure it exists or could exist in the state of Oregon, but it is a legitimate issue, and I think the agencies and our association struggled with trying to figure out how we could amend this bill to address that. And the issue is, when a landfill is sited, there's kind of two permitting processes. You have the permit for the open face of the landfill, and that's a very specific geographic permit requirement. And then there are activities that are ancillary to a landfill that make that landfill work, such as leachate collection systems, stormwater management systems, access roads, waste-to-energy, or I shouldn't say waste-to-energy, but more methane recovery and conversion into energy activities. So there's lots of things that are also permitted. However, the issue was on the actual property line of a landfill. It could be very large piece of property, and there could be activities not ancillary to the landfill that happen outside, but still on that property. And 1,000 Friends pointed out they wanted to make sure that this exemption was only applying to those activities that were associated with the landfill, not activities that could be construed potentially as surface mining outside. So we agreed with that. Frankly, we just had a hard time figuring out the language to do that. I want to give a lot of credit to Ms. McGee on Legislative Council, who worked with us and was able to find an elegant way to describe that in the bill. So that's kind of where we're at with this bill. There, I must also mention, Mr. Chairman, and I think you might hear from Association of Oregon Counties today as well, we offered up during this process, the Dogami director had mentioned to us that there are other public works projects that are troubling as well, that really don't meet the definition of kind of aggregate extraction or commercial mining activities again, but certainly meet the definition of 5,000 cubic yards, things such as pipe trenching, utility maintenance, public road public roads associated with public utilities. Public roads are already exempted under earlier exemptions. And then irrigation ditch maintenance and those types of activities. So I think 1,000 Friends was in agreement with that. That was never a controversial amendment. You'll see that's the extra exemption that was added to this bill, and that's why it had two sets of amendments. Yeah. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions for Willie? We've got some more folks. We can always have them back up if you generate anything else later. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. And Tom, Tom Wolf and Mark Nystrom, you both come up.
Chair Clem, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, Executive Director of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited. Here for two reasons. One is even though I mistakenly wrote down neutral, but actually Trout Unlimited, with the amendments and the work that's been done in this bill in the Senate, supports 1036A, believes that this was a sincere effort to deal with a problem, and we support it. But now for the second reason I'm here, and the true reason I'm here, I realized as I was looking at your schedule, this is the last policy bill you're going to hear in this committee this year, and this is my last chance to testify ever in front of this committee, whereas in the past I've testified before this committee 99 times. So unfortunately I didn't break 100 in this committee, but I just wanted to come and share my thanks and appreciation to this committee, many of you who have been on this for a number of years, because some of the greatest bills that I've worked on have come out of this committee. In 2009, a whole bunch of bills dealing with invasive species, including the boat inspection station, one of the great success stories in environmental history in Oregon, that has managed to, in their work, to stop quagga and zebra and New Zealand mud snails from entering into our state and causing millions of dollars of damage both out to streams and to irrigation pipes and others to and other invasive species bills, to wildlife violation bills that helped set higher penalties for the illegal taking of fish and wildlife, and in my case, white sturgeon. You know, the Columbia River has the healthiest, largest white sturgeon population in the world, but it's declining. One of the reasons is illegal exploitation of those sturgeon being harvested for their eggs so they can be sold as caviar. And this committee was instrumental in passing bills on that. And then finally, HB 2402, that looked at the long-term funding and needs and reform of ODFW, even though that task force recommendation still is moving forward in a slower way than we thought, and possibly in a ballot measure in the future, it came through this committee. So I appreciate all the work that all of you have done. I know that I'm a liberal progressive, and there are people on this committee that I count as great friends who are frankly very conservative, and I won't name Representative Esquivel's name when I say that, but because it would ruin both our images. I just wanted to share and thank you in my last moments. There's a favorite trail that I like to hike in the Wallowas called to Francis Lake, and to get to it, you have to go up what's referred to as the longest, dreariest trail in the history of hiking. It goes from 5,000 feet to 9,000 feet over a course of 10 miles. It's boring. It's long. But when you get to the top, you get to see down into this beautiful lake basin and over across into other lake basins. And that's what I felt like this committee. We've been through a long and slogging trip at times, but we've achieved great things. And I just want to share my appreciation for all the work that all of you have done over these last several years. Thank you.
That's very nice. Mark, stop that.
I know. Mark Nyström with the Association of Oregon Counties. I've only testified like six or eight times, so I'm nowhere close to where Tom is. And my testimony is pretty straightforward and maybe boring. I'd like to thank Aura and Willie Tiffany for bringing this issue up. AOC supports Senate Bill 1036A. We're supportive of the idea of taking the county landfills out of the requirement for surface mining, and we also jumped at the opportunity to throw in public works, the trenching for utilities, drainage ditches, etc. So we're here just voicing our support of this bill. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tom, we're going to miss you, and I mean that. Even though you tab yourself as a progressive liberal and me as a conservative. The one good thing that we do is we park that when we walk through the door here, and the most important thing is the wildlife in the state of Oregon, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, Chair Clem, Representative Esquivel. I appreciate it, and like I've said, I've enjoyed working with you.
Anything else for this group? Okay, gentlemen, thank you. That's all I've got on my list for this bill. So, seeing nobody else, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1036A, and I'm going to open our informational meeting on the Tillamook Wetlands Project and ask whomever is going to be coming up. That would probably be Brian, Lisa, and Chad. Marianne, are you coming up, or are you just organizing? And okay, all right.
Well, good morning, everybody. By way of introduction, my name is Brian Pohl. I am the Director of Community Development for Tillamook County. With me today are Chad Allen, local dairyman, and Lisa Phipps, Director of Tillamook Estuaries Partnership. And we were asked if it was possible for us to just come give you kind of an update on this Tillamook Wetlands Pilot Project. And we are well underway to give you an overview, Senate Bill 1517 authorized Tillamook County to do two things. Enact an ordinance to require conditional use for wetland projects and engage in a planning process that will evaluate agricultural and wetland potential and priorities in the county. It also requires us to report back to you every biennium. And we'll mention it's a 10-year pilot project. We don't know where it's going after this, but we have a good feeling about this whole process. First part of this bill is our ordinance adoption. Under SB 1517, the ordinance adopted by the county can only consider impacts to neighboring farmlands under ORS 215-296. We don't adopt additional conditions, and we don't apply our conditional use criteria other than just the farm criteria to it. We also have to create an option for an applicant to enter into a collaborative process, basically to hit the stop or the time clock and say, hey, you know what, we've got neighbor issues here. We'd like to work with the neighbors rather than just coming together in a hearing and opposing each other and actually try to engage each other in a positive sort of manner. The county commissioners voted in April to launch the ordinance adoption process. The post-acknowledgement plan amendment form was sent to DLCD yesterday. We anticipate that to happen over the summer. Our next steps are obviously the ordinance adoption. We've already drafted the ordinance, and we're going to give that to our technical assistance committee for review. Obviously, public notification, public comment, hearing by our Planning Commission and Board of County Commissioners, and as that bullet point says, we anticipate adoption in the third quarter of 2017. I'm not going to read all of this, but we will engage in the planning process, which will basically identify priority areas for wetland conversion or farmland preservation based upon metrics that we haven't decided yet. We're still working on. That's kind of where we are right now, is deciding on those metrics and exactly what and how we'll prioritize those things. We formed a technical advisory committee in the fall of 2016. We have members from the Tillamook County Farm Bureau, Oregon Farm Bureau, Tillamook Estuaries Partnership, Nature Conservancy, ODA, ODFW, DLCD, all those alphabet soup agencies, and of course the creamery and the county as well. We were able to raise $150,000 from OWEB, the conservation community, and the ag community to hire a planning consultant. We actually contracted with Kogan Owens Green, who had a wonderful proposal and a lot of experience in this sort of realm. And we're very confident in their ability to guide us through this process. And they have begun to meet with our TAC. As far as next steps in the planning process, the consultants will compile all the information that they receive and everything that we decide to move forward with in the planning process. We'll have some pretty extensive public engagement in this process. After the TAC kind of meets and agrees on some parameters, we should be meeting with the public quite a bit. Planning Commission and Board of Commissioners will review the draft plan, adopt a final plan, plan to also streamline the conditional use process. And as this bullet point says, we're early in the process. We're refining data sources. The data availability has been an interesting sort of nuance in this whole thing. We're reviewing the work product that we're seeing and seeking feedback from interested parties. I'm sure they're interesting as well. That's all I got. I'm going to pass it over to Chad from the agricultural side and give you his update.
All right, Chad Allen, Dairyman in Tillamook. This has been a long journey for us in the agriculture sector with trying to come up with some long-term resolutions with some of the conflicts that we see arising from wetland development. At the same time, we understand and see the importance of conservation efforts and habitat restoration in areas that do not conflict with agriculture uses. I think this process so far has been, I've been really excited about it. We have a great team on the TAC with a wide variety of interests. I see this process in the long term really building a bridge between our two different interests. We share a lot of similarities in terms of our goals, but I think this process is really going to unite the two different entities in our community to really perform some great future restoration projects that are going to be compatible with existing farm practices. That's really been the essence for me in this process is to make sure that we do things in a way that are not detrimental to either conservation efforts and farming practices in our community. And so I can't express how grateful the support from the legislation in this process last year was. And I really see this as being a huge success for the state of Oregon. Mm-hmm. There's no better place, I think, to have this conversation than Tillamook County. And I really feel that we're going to be successful in it. So thank you.
Good morning. I'm Lisa Phipps. I'm the director of the Tillamook Estuaries Partnership. And I thought I'd just start out with a quick kind of recap of what the Tillamook Estuaries Partnership is, so there's some context there. So back in the 90s, we were experiencing some significant challenges in Tillamook Bay. We were having water quality issues, we were losing a lot of significant habitat, and there were a lot of growing land user conflicts. Actually, this conflict that we're talking about today was actually occurring even at that point in time, but under a few different circumstances. And so the community came together, petition at the time, Governor Roberts, who then sent a successful request to EPA to bring the National Estuary Program to Tillamook Bay. That also resulted in Tillamook Bay receiving the designation as a Bay of National Significance. So this is a really special bay for the state of Oregon on so many levels. During that time, four key areas of focus were identified: habitat loss, water quality, flooding, which might come as a great surprise to some of you, and stewardship. And in all of those elements, tidal wetlands play a key role, whether it's bringing habitat back for fish, wildlife, bird species, whether it's providing better water quality benefits, or helping to provide some of the resiliency that we want to see along the fringes of our communities, of our coastal communities. Tidal wetlands play a critical role in really all of the elements of our life in Tillamook County. And so in 2002, we decided as a program to go beyond Tillamook and include all the estuaries in Tillamook County. So that's part of why we're here, because we have that broad breadth of scope for all of the bays in Tillamook County, and feel like we can speak to the benefits that those bays bring to our area. But also the benefit of our program is it's completely voluntary. It's non-regulatory, and the key word is partnership. Mm-hmm. And on this team, there are partners that have been with us since 1994, and so it was a natural transgression for us to be able to move into this kind of a relationship with the county, with the agricultural community, and then with all the other partners that you saw pulled out there. And so I was asked, because I follow the rules once in a while, I was asked to kind of give you some scope about what our goals are as a conservation community, why we're participating, and some of the outcomes that we're hoping for. So the goals, of course, are to ensure functioning ecosystems in our estuary and tidelands, to have a transparent process, but probably even more importantly is to look for some big win-win opportunities. We should not be in conflict. Agriculture and restoration really has so many opportunities to come together and create better situations on all sides. I think it's also important that to note that there's this big broader conservation community of land trusts, watershed councils, other advocacy groups who are watching this process, who have concerns, and we hope that our presence there helps to alleviate that, because the goal of our program is to find these solutions and not to engage in conflict. And so some of the outcomes that we're hoping for is that we have a process that considers all the factors, that we have clear criteria with concrete upon definitions, that there are opportunities to make this a living process, especially if it's successful, and to identify those opportunities that are outside the box where we can marry restoration with improved agricultural opportunities where it makes sense. I think that I would like to echo Chad's comment about this group. From the first meeting, I have been part of so many processes, and this is probably the first committee where I didn't feel like we had to spend the first 6 months building trust amongst ourselves. We walked out of that first meeting feeling good. There was a lot of camaraderie there. It probably helps we all know each other, but it really gave me a great deal of hope, and it was a pleasure to be at. So that's so unusual. And then I guess one of the things that we just wanted to put back to you, and as much as you're going to ask us questions, is given the breadth of your reach, you know, are there data out there that you might know of that could help us in this process too? So we would like to reach out to you for the expertise that you bring to the table as well. Thank you.
Vice Chair McClain.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the chair for bringing an uplifting presentation to us this morning. And you have to, you know, I almost got teary-eyed listening to you guys, because I think you guys are just one of the most wonderful examples of what you can do if people work together. Now, that doesn't mean you've got your problem solving done. That doesn't mean you have your win-win projects completed or even identified. But it means that you're willing to spend the time to get it done together in a respectful way. And to me, that's what we should be doing more of. And I'm hoping that we can put you on a postcard and send your philosophy and your work ethic and also your ability to be team players together, you know, to others that are going through some similar kinds of issues. But I think Tillamook County is an interesting, special geographic place. The bay is a special, interesting, you know, a body of water. And there's just so many things there that as others can learn as you folks work together on some of those issues. But as you were talking, so somebody who can remember numbers of bills, there's a bill out there that's talking about agencies and folks that are working on data. What's the bill number?
We had it yesterday on the floor.
We heard that. And it's one where we're talking about how agencies and state, you know, work, how we can share all that data with each other countywide. You know, we were talking about, you know, local, not just state, mm-hmm. but county and local jurisdictions as well. And we're trying to get it so that not only is it a goal, but that we have some kind of a system gathering, data sharing, you know, type of service that can help in all areas of, you know, municipalities, conservation, you know, projects that really need support of each other. And why be redundant in your research?
Yeah.
And so the whole idea is to, you know, get that body of data together and make it available to everybody who could possibly use it.
Wow.
But maybe the two of us, do you have it? Okay.
So. Okay. I think you're talking about House Bill 2906A we voted on yesterday, establishes the Oregon Geographic Information Council.
Yes.
Within the office of the State Chief Information Officer.
Yes. But I think that's something maybe we should be looking into and trying to get you guys involved with, you know, on the foundation ground roots beginning of their work, since that's where, you know, it sounds like that's where you guys are, is just getting started with this, and that there might be information there that would be useful.
Great.
Thank you, I guess is what I wanted to say. Okay,
any
I have
other?
To say one more
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, please.
The one more thing is that, you know, growing up on a dairy farm, nobody who's never been on a dairy farm, grown up on a dairy farm, they don't understand the challenges. They like milk and they like ice cream or they like, you know, milk products. But I think sometimes that the challenges, just having appreciations of each other's challenges, and that bay is challenging too in so many ways. I live in Forest Grove. Okay. But it's a situation where I think, again, that sometimes being understanding and respectful of each other's challenges is also a really good place to start problem solving.
Very well said. Okay. Thank you all so much for coming, and thank you for working together and helping model the kind of behavior that we hope we can see spread across the landscape. This was a kind of a pilot project, I think, in our minds, but we've got challenges in other parts of Oregon, too, and we're going to be taking a long look at wetlands over the course of the next year in this committee.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So we have no meeting this coming Thursday. We do have a meeting scheduled for May 23rd, and we've got a start time of 9 a.m. that day. I think we'll be fine. We had more than enough time today, it turns out, starting at 8:30, so we're just going to move us back a little bit. Anything else for the good of the order? All right, let's adjourn. Thank you.
You're going to need that.
This.
You're gonna need that.